This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, Friday, this coming Friday, the 25th of May, is International Techie Tax Day. You know what that is? It's a day to stand together and protect the vulnerable in society. Choose your sticker and glitter up your techies with our funky new shoelaces. You can get them at participating welfare organizations, or you can order them online. Just go to techietax.org. That's T-E-K-K-I-E-T-A-X.org. All right, you got it? Leave with a sparkle. Wear your techies. International Techie Tax Day. That is Friday, 25 May, and that's to help protect the vulnerable. So if you want to get involved, that's what you can do. Good morning. It's Monday. It is the 21st of May. We are live. It is 7 o'clock. Ben is here. Mubs is here. Sia is here. And Dabi Seng, who's our intern, is here as well. Spongile is there as well. We're taking your calls and your messages. Let's get stuck into some news. I think everybody's talking about the royal wedding, even if they didn't watch it. I got to a kid's birthday party yesterday, I mentioned, and there were some people there who have fiercely said that they would not, they were planning not to pay any attention to the royal wedding, but ended up watching it anyway.
Oh.
And then there were those people who said they would never watch it. So, hopeless heap of bullshit. Didn't care. So... I don't know how you feel about it, but it might be quite interesting. There were a couple of things about it that were very, very different. They had this choir performing. They're a gospel choir from the U.S., and they tore the house down. People loved them. What did they sing again?
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me. There we go. Take a listen to this. And this is at the royal wedding on Saturday in Windsor. So this is the choir. Let's see why they're not coming through here. There it is.
Stand by me. Stand by me.
Yeah. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Stand by me. Whenever you're in trouble, won't you stand by me?
So that was one of the highlights everybody was talking about. Sia, you watched the whole thing.
Yes.
Comments? What do you
have
to say?
Well, firstly, to the British High Commissioner for even thinking I'm worthy for an invitation. I was like, okay, well, thanks. We went to the British High Commissioner's house in Pretoria, and I took a friend of mine with, and we drove up there.
What were you wearing?
Oh, well, you know, I went kind of classic. I just did all black, but a nice blazer on top. And I did my shoes that matched the belt, because, you know, you have to. Oh, and that matched the glasses, because we were outside in the garden. Yes, we were. So we pull up. Firstly, you know, I like to think of myself as a very simple and basic human being. And as
I like to think of you as the male Bonang. Actually,
I'm very simple and basic. And as we were pulling up, my friend and I look at each other. We're like, what are we doing here? Because you start seeing the cars that line the street, and it's like your BMWs and Mercedes and you think that's impressive. But once you have parked your car, you then get a Bentley that picks you up and will drive you up to the main entrance already. I'm like, okay, maybe you should have Uber Blacked here, not Uber X, because evidently we are not on par. But we jump into the Bentley that then drops us off at the main entrance. And there was this entire security situation going on. They had to tag us and pat us down, and they ask us, what is that beep? And just to make sure, because you're in the presence of all of these people. And once once you're through that, then you go out into the garden, and there were drinks galore, and there was food, and this massive screen. That's where we watched the wedding live. So in that setting, in and of itself, it was an amazing experience. But then the wedding started, and be still my flaming heart, I was gone.
You were into it? You were entered in a big way?
Abso-freaking-lutely. You know, there was this odd silence in the garden as soon as we saw Meghan Markle and her mother in the car, and we were all trying to squint, like, what does her dress look like, and when are, you know, how is it all going to happen? And to see the mother, that was one thing. But then I also think
I thought she was really sweet. I mean,
very regal looking.
Saw, yeah, and she was so like, yeah, quiet and refined, and dignified.
Oh, but just, that nose ring said everything.
What did it say, Sia?
Oh, still said, listen, I'm going to be here. I'll cross my legs a certain way. I'll keep quiet, but don't try me. Still have my nose ring. I'm from the hood.
Yeah, don't mess me around.
But I also thought, by the way, it was very cute that Prince Charles walked Meghan up to the altar. Yeah. That was a nice
But also
moment.
Cute that, because he only really took her up halfway, apparently. Mm. So the first part she sort of did on her own.
Yeah.
And I think that that's very modern too.
Like, exactly.
Why should a father give away a daughter, especially when he's a hick like her father?
The lying.
She could rather stand on her own and walk as a woman. I mean, she's 30, how old?
36.
36 years old. So she's no spring chicken herself.
Mm.
Harry's also 30 something.
33.
So I don't know. Are the two of them going to have kids?
Oof.
Getting close to that time, you know?
And it's tough for her.
But when you have that kind of money, you can have kids.
Oh, that's true.
Into an older age, you know, because they can afford the medical treatments.
Yeah, I suppose so. Maybe that's a way to go. And it's certainly not going to be for poorer, despite what they said in there.
Yes.
For richer, for poorer. Don't worry about for poorer. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Will you take Harry to be your husband? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and protect him? And forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live.
I will.
There's a lot of people screaming outside.
And will you, the families and friends of Harry and Meghan, support and uphold them in their marriage now and in the years to come?
That I haven't heard before. Have you ever been to a wedding where everybody goes, "We will," like we'll join in the vows? I haven't.
Mm-mm. Is that a spin on, rather than saying, "Does anyone protest?"
Right.
They've now decided we'll just get everybody.
No, they
to
still
say.
They still asked about the protest thing. I think.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they have to. That's a legal requirement. If there's someone there who knows something. You're meant to like out them at the wedding. I think that's so horrible.
Yeah.
And then, like they should send that round with the invitations. Like if you're planning something, let us know now so we just don't invite you.
So then did Mike from Suits come bursting in?
Yeah. Mike from Suits was there. He was hanging around. He looked kind of bored.
Him and Harvey were there.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people were talking about how pretty Amal Clooney was. She was wearing this sort of bright yellow outfit. Look damn good. She's taller than George.
Oh, she must be a giant then.
She's taller than George.
I mean, George is not a short man.
No, when you get to George's age, you start to shrink, though. You just get shorter.
A lot of people were saying that she looked really good. Posh Bex looked good.
Oh, I did see a lot of women salivating over David Beckham.
Yeah, David Beckham.
He's people still were saying holding up well.
He was the one who everybody said was the best-looking man there.
Mm.
So there we are. Here's a kind of review about the royal wedding you might like a lot more.
Welcome to Windsor for the fucking royal wedding. St. George's Chapel is looking sensational today, and it appears England's one day of summer has arrived early. Bloody beautiful. Of course, with all these Sheilas wearing fancy hats, I pretty much feel like I'm watching the Melbourne Cup. Inside, there's fuck all happening. George Clooney is on the piss already. Good on him. Elton John is trying his hardest to muster up some shits to give, and this conductor is looking at his watch because he's running out of songs to play already. Oh, there's Harry and his brother William. Fuck yes. Hazza is looking cool as a cucumber. William asks if they can head inside, but security says, "Do you have any ID?" Harry's like, "It's my fucking wedding." Oh shit, no worries, you can enter. I suppose security needs to at least act like they're doing some work. Hazza gives a wave to the fans. They love it. Serena is talking about all the shit Meghan won't be allowed to do anymore. Well, David Beckham just wants a whiskey. Meanwhile, back outside, who do we have here? The Queen is in the house. The grandparents have arrived, and they look fucking badass. The Queen is never late, nor is she early. She arrives precisely when she means to, like Gandalf. And there's the bride. 10 out of 10 dismount from the car. Harry is saying all the cliche things here. How was the car ride? Your dress looks fantastic. I cannot wait to rip it off with me fucking teeth later. The celebrant starts talking about how serious marriage is, and he asks them to take a quick time out to think about their actions. Someone's drunk uncle grabs the microphone and tells everyone what's on the dinner menu. He's like, you've got a choice between a beef eye fillet or the fish. Personally, I'm going to be choosing the beef. Because why wouldn't you? There's no competition between beef and fish. And fish also gives me an upset tummy. Why would I want an upset tummy at the greatest wedding ever? We also have dessert, and I'm looking forward to that. I cannot wait. I simply can't wait. Oh, that was sweet. The celebrant makes them touch his clothes, and bing bada boom, Bob's your uncle, too easy, they are married. This guy plays the Game of Thrones theme. Hopefully King Joffrey doesn't kill anyone here. And there's the kiss, that's what we've all been waiting for, let's not lie. A crowd of horny wankers goes berserk. Finally, they jump in an Uber and head off to take a quick break before going to the reception and ordering the beef. Fuck yes to the royal wedding. Fuck yes.
All right, there it is. That's very Aussie, man. Isn't that nice?
Good job. Well done.
All right, a couple of messages that have come in because it's now working. Our message screen is finally bloody well working. All right, so the royal wedding saw more black people than Kim Kardashian's ass over this weekend. That's very nice. Christ. The cellist, 19-year-old Sheku Kane Mason, was also amazing. He played during the signing of the register. Yeah, he was very good from everybody's reviews. Morning, guys. I don't know if you covered this earlier, but I want to talk about the Ashwin Willemse incident that happened. Well, you can go and listen to the first hour of this morning's show. I don't think we need to go back there. Catching up on podcasts over the weekend, I heard you talking about ways to keep warm in winter, says somebody. In Korea, this is where they are, I thought you might enjoy this. When I'm teaching English in South Korea, I live in a small apartment block. It's one of four apartments on the ground floor, and there was one central heating dial in the corridor that controlled the heat for all the apartments. Sometimes I would wake up in the night in a pool of sweat and have to stumble into the corridor and turn down the heat. Then the neighbor would come out later on and turn it back up, and so it went. Pretty stupid system for a country that calls itself technologically advanced. Oh, that's annoying.
Maybe you're just in a really bad part of town.
I thought of you over the weekend with your electric blanket on. The whole night long?
I woke up about... I woke up around midnight. Electric blanket still on. Daniela fell asleep.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Very bad, right?
It was terrible.
Very bad.
How do you live like that?
Well, you were also drunk.
No, this is last night.
That's horrendous.
Where did you get drunk exactly?
Everywhere.
Were you in the royal wedding spirit or it was just an average Saturday?
Everywhere.
No, just every Saturday. Well, actually, it was just, yeah, like golf with friends, and yeah, it was a good day.
Speaking of marriage, did you guys see Jim Carrey had something to say about marriage and the royal wedding? Do you want to hear what he had to say?
Well, who didn't have something to say about the royal wedding?
Good point. Well put. If you have something to say, you can let us know. Whoever invented marriage was creepy as hell, says Jim Carrey. Like, I love you so much, I'm going to get the government involved so you can't leave. That's a good point. A lot of people say that that's the biggest issue with weddings and marriages in general, is that you're letting the government into your life. But I was thinking about how different it would be. I mean, here's a girl who grew up as an actress, right? Mm-hmm. In America. What are the chances that in her wildest imagination, she'd end up becoming a princess? It is kind of beautiful. It's a lovely story.
Oh, I had such a little Kleenex moment when I saw a picture of a young Meghan Markle. They were evidently on holiday, and she had taken a picture in front of Buckingham Palace as a kid.
See?
She would have never pictured this.
She's going to live there now.
But what I want to know, I think everyone else does. Does she now have like a royal salary? Because you know she's not allowed to work or she won't work. So does...
That's a good question.
At what stage in the conversation was, so Harry, how much do I you know, what if I want to go and maybe buy a handbag or something? I don't know, something trivial. I'd go, oh, no, don't, it's fine. You'll go on what Fergie used to be on. 3,000 quid a month.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. Like, how does that work? Does she go through this whole, you know, I imagine it's like when you start a job, you go through the cost of company, your terms, your contract, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You reckon she was sat down, had her cost of family discussed? Because these kind of things have to happen, right? Because she's not going to go, oh, yeah, Harry, so I'm just going to go shoot this movie where I'm going to be topless for 3 months.
Oh, yeah, no, that's that.
Yeah,
you can't
that
do that.
Happen.
Because ultimately, if you want to get any further in acting,
I think maybe
you've got to whip your kid up at some stage.
Maybe she just got, like, there's a blank checkbook, you know, and she can just help herself to whatever she wants.
I'd love to know this kind of stuff.
And what are her duties and responsibilities? Because there are obviously things that she has to tick off the list.
Yeah, like
Duchess of whatever she is now.
Duchess of Sussex.
Okay, so that comes with roles and responsibilities like a job would.
Yeah.
Will she have to go to Australia?
Yes, probably.
Because they always send royals there.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
because the Queen owns it.
Like, will she have to appear at the Eurovision Song Contest? Yeah, this kind of stuff, you've got to know.
Probably.
Well, from what I heard, and I don't know how accurate this is, the Queen doesn't even carry money.
Of course not.
No, she doesn't.
So
whatever she wants, she just gets.
How very common.
Mm,
but does she have to go have tea with Justin from Canada next month? Like,
possibly.
Does she have like a rota?
I mean, listen, Harry's a popular dude, and she's going to be a very popular princess. So I think people are going to put them at the top of the list. I feel bad for the others. You know, that royal family's so huge. You saw all of them traipsing down there.
Just feel bad for Kate.
There are a lot of them. Yeah, even Kate. There are a lot of them that are going to fall by the wayside now.
Why do you feel bad for Kate?
But because she's been overshadowed.
Exactly. Because who is she?
You know, she
married some bald guy who's knocked out two kids.
Shame. Did you see that Harry's also balding? Ooh,
well, is he really? Shame.
From the back here.
Yeah, shame. William has aged terribly. Guess on.
So Kate now is basically married an old balding git.
Yeah.
Been given two kids, and everyone knows her sister's hotter, so they know her. It's tough.
And now she's being overshadowed by the new Duchess.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then who's Harry's wife? An actress. Everyone knows. So she's going, I should have stayed in the trailer.
But she has the prospect of power to look forward to.
Yeah, she's going to be
way
queen one day.
Sooner.
Camilla
then.
Will murder her before that happens.
Camilla doesn't Camilla have to. Camilla gets in first.
Camilla hasn't murdered the queen.
She will get a hoof to the forehead. That's what happened to her. Camilla's rough.
That is really terrible.
I was watching Camilla during the wedding, and I was thinking, she's probably desperate to fart.
What?
She had that look on her face.
Yeah, just not there.
Desperate to fart.
Now that's someone who I think, what does she do then? No, Kate, at least she has the young kids, and no, she still loved. Camilla, what does she wake up and do?
But you know,
whatever she wants is the
other.
You know what is something that I do worry about is, imagine being one of Harry's many exes, and you were present there because.
Bye.
Because you know women are stupid, right? We're fucking stupid. So you'll sit there and you'll look at Meghan Markle and you'll compare yourself to her and you'll think, ah, but when didn't she have then I didn't.
Right.
Because that's how women's brains work. Fucking idiots. Mm. Like, it must have been difficult sitting there watching all of this unfolding and knowing that, like...
It could have been me.
It could have been me. And look at all the attention that she's getting.
All right, but let me ask you this. First of all, do you need to invite an ex to your wedding?
Oof,
no.
I don't think that's a good idea for either the ex being invited or for the person inviting the ex.
Fuck idea.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary, right? And so if you are the ex and you are invited and you know better, you just say, no, thank you. I won't be coming.
Yeah.
And Harry or Meghan don't seem like the type where they need to like, in your face, look at us now, you know, by inviting the ex. So I don't get what that is. Unless genuinely, really, Harry and Chelsea or Harry and Cressida are genuine friends. So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that... I don't think that friendship is going to last
long. You think about...
Now that Meghan is in the picture, she's going to be like, true. I'm sorry, you're friends with who, Harry? I don't think so.
But you think about...
Your ex.
In Chelsea's case, this is the ex Chelsea Davy. They were together for 7 years on and off.
Right. Even more reason for her not to be around.
She must have had to do for 7 years.
And you see, that relationship got to an awkward point where... everyone was expecting a proposal, and every time they went on holiday, there would be rumors. Yeah. And imagine that disappointment, Chelsea. You get there, and it's like,
so disappointing.
So there would have been that build up of maybe he will, maybe this is the time.
And then in 2 seconds, you go and propose to someone else.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Oh. And everyone would always ask, like, did you see it coming? You know, did you think that he just didn't have commitment issues or whatever? Like, that poor woman.
I just think, you know what? You don't need to have your ex at your wedding to someone else. And you don't need your ex to pitch up there. That's where that whole, if you have an objection to the two of these getting married, that's where some crazy ex will say something. And not all exes are crazy. I get along with a lot of mine. But I wouldn't invite them to the wedding.
Yeah.
You know?
No matter how close you are as friends today.
Not necessary. You just can't. You're muddying the water.
Yeah.
It's your wife-to-be, your wife, depending on the time of the ceremony. It's her day. Don't ruin that by bringing your exes. Unnecessary.
Agreed,
100%. Which is why Meghan Markle shouldn't have invited her on-screen husband from Suits. I mean, how cruel.
Well, I would like to know what Meghan's exes are saying as well. So we know that Meghan was married before.
Don't scratch too deep here. What? We know the family's already bad enough.
Oh, yes.
She was married before.
She's a divorcee.
Yeah.
Big scandal.
This is the public marriage that we all know. But some people are saying that she was also engaged beforehand as well. According to this famed journalist, and his name now skips my head, but he wrote Diana's biography as well. He did some digging and found out that Meghan was in this long relationship and the man gave Meghan a ring. We don't know whether that was an engagement ring or just like a ring of any sorts. And this is when Meghan also found out about Harry and was like, yo, dude, I'm sorry, you've given me this ring, but listen, there's a royal knocking on my door. So Meghan actually wrote this guy a letter saying, look, it's over and here's your ring, and sent it in the mail.
Oh, wow.
So this guy didn't see the breakup coming, just opened this innocent envelope, read this letter, saw the ring, and that's how he knew that it was over. But I'd love to know for him, like, they were intensely involved. And
how long ago?
This is like a couple of months ago.
Oh, wow. So she really broke up with him very quickly.
He's like a chef. Yeah.
Oh,
but I'm sorry. Chef.
She saw Prince Harry
royal
coming along.
Chef.
She's like,
royal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. He also needs to just understand that, sorry.
But doesn't even warrant a face-to-face conversation. Call me at least.
Well, breakups are always difficult.
You sent me my ring in the mail with a letter.
Well, at least I sent it back to you. Do you know how many women feel like they get to keep the ring after they were proposed to?
Yeah.
I keep it. That's so mean.
Yeah. Meghan, please just pop out babies for him. Otherwise, everyone will just always look at you horribly.
Well, I don't know. Do you think they want to have kids? I think maybe they've, you know, the royal family's got enough people to look after. There's enough people on the payroll there.
I also don't want to sound crazy with all of these things that I just randomly know, but alas, Diana used to have a psychic that used to visit her daily.
Listen to you. You're such a royal, like, watcher.
I don't.
I know. It's crazy and sad. So the psychic's name is Sally Morgan, who used to visit Diana like 4 times a week. She has now spoken out and said that for now, there is tons of passion in Harry and Meghan's marriage that Diana would approve.
Yeah,
and
sure.
That she sees in the future 2 girls and a boy for Harry and Meghan. So that's
a the psychic.
That
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
We're done now. I'm done with all of my facts. I'll keep quiet.
All right. Yeah. Fine. So apparently Meghan Markle's speech, she just said thank you to the royal family and made an affectionate tribute to her new husband, which you'd expect. And then Harry apparently gave an emotional off-the-cuff speech and drew a rapturous reception when he referred to Meghan as his wife for the first time. Oh,
you that also usually referred happens to every Chelsea wedding, as right? The one.
Come on. According to Times, he left guests in tears when he said Meghan had navigated everything with such grace, adding, we make such a great team. And Charles then spoke about feeding Harry a bottle and changing his nappy and said how well he turned out. That's as embarrassing as it got.
Okay.
No,
not too bad.
He also promised that the American guests wouldn't steal any swords from the castle.
Okay.
That's funny. All right. And apparently William then acted as the compere or the MC and introduced both his father and his brother. And they said that his speech was interesting, although he saw it as a way to pay back Harry's hilarious tribute to William and Kate when they tied the knot. And then they danced the night away with Harry's favorite house tracks and Elton John on the piano while guests had burgers and candy floss. How's that, huh?
Yeah, well, Ed Sheeran set fire to cars outside.
Shame.
I still can't believe you didn't get crack the nod.
Shame. I thought it was Ed Sheeran for a while when I was up. When I was looking at the.
Oh.
I thought it was Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, some people, I was surprised they didn't get the invitation. Or, you know, some people who were there, I was like, really? As much as I love Oprah, how does Oprah know the couple?
I don't know.
You know?
Why are you asking a stupid question like that?
Oprah knows
Oprah
everyone.
Oprah knows the world, yeah. And the world wants to know Oprah.
But President Obama okay, before
so,
Oprah.
So why was George Clooney there?
Yeah. That's also another thing.
Why was Serena Williams there?
Serena Williams is friends with Meghan. But I would say, you know, President Obama before
they probably
George
met
Clooney
like last
or,
year.
Oh, Obama no. wasn't there?
No.
He must have not been able to make it because aren't him and Harry kind of like friends?
Yeah, but they didn't that. Invite any politicians, so there were no...
Yeah, I mean, Donald wasn't there.
There was no Theresa May, no Donald, no Obama.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
They didn't have any of the politicians.
Nigel Farage wasn't
it was like
there.
It was a little family wedding. This was not a state wedding. This is not like a thing that involved... Because you see, he's not the heir to the throne anymore. He never was.
Mm.
So William obviously has to do the big one in London and everybody's invited and it's huge.
In general, do you think people don't take Harry as seriously?
Of course not.
Oh, shame.
The guy went to a Halloween concert in a Nazi outfit. He's been shit-faced all over the media. Of course they don't take him that seriously.
Remember that trip to Vegas where one of the girls spilled on what went down in Vegas even though you're not supposed to?
Yes.
Of course all nobody right. takes him seriously. Oh.
All right, well, let's move on because there's some other stuff. Enough of this fucking wedding bullshit, says someone. I don't understand the fascination with the royal wedding and our own history of the English, which has been horrendous. Charles had Camilla at his wedding to Diana. What the fuck? royal protocol. It's the gentlemanly thing to do to invite your exes.
No, it's not.
Gentlemanly thing. That's a smug thing to do.
Like, I would never attend.
Ben sounds like an old... balding git. If someone was listening to this show and did not know how Ben looks, getting some heat there, Ben.
That's unfair because now you've
they
used
would
my
definitely
phrase.
Think
you've completely used my phrase. At least you're going to insult me. Use your own phrase.
All right. Well, lots of messages coming in. Some people said that the Queen's outfit was sponsored by Outsurance. Oh.
I saw that
because the colours were purple and green. All right, enough about the royal wedding. There is other stuff that's worth talking about. Mubs, do you want to take it away?
Sure. So, if you are fat, would you...
That's awesome.
That's a hell of a way to start a conversation.
I mean,
if you are fat...
If you are grossly obese, how would you feel about your employer getting involved in your weight?
Got to be careful here.
Well, your weight for
if you're
lunch,
a jockey... If you're a jockey, you have to let your employer get in the way of your eating. You have to, because you have to weigh a certain amount on the horse.
Okay, so it depends on the kind of work you're doing. No, let's just talk like normal office work, office hours.
What, like a 9-to-5?
Any 9-to-5, whether you're a lawyer or an engineer or I don't know.
I don't really think your boss has anything to say about how fat you are.
Okay, so what role should your employer be playing is one question being asked by one expert. We see it in the news, in magazines, and on social media. We're constantly warned about the dangers of being overweight or what the perfect size is. In fact, your doctor may have even warned you that you're putting on a few extra kilos, but is it ever okay for an employer to broach the subject of obesity in the workplace? Well, Lynn Frost, a business coach, who will be speaking at the 2018...
The Lynn Frost. Isn't that the thing where Thor goes back to his home planet through the Lynn Frost?
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
That's the Bifrost.
Frost is going to be speaking at the 2018 Festival of Learning. And as far as she's concerned, she says it might not be the worst thing in the world for your employer or your fellow colleagues to get involved or to step in when you are clearly failing at controlling your weight. She says the workplace is a prime environment for helping employees to address their issues of being overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
Employed adults spend around one third of their time at work, so therefore why shouldn't the people at work get involved? So employers have many opportunities to promote individual health and foster a healthy work environment. So as far as Frost is concerned, she's saying that as employers and colleagues, we should be caring more about each other. And when one of us is seemingly losing control of their health and weight, we have all the rights to step in. That's basically what she's saying.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it really depends how close your relationship is with your staff, or how closely you can open up to, you know, colleagues without feeling awkward about it. Like, I would suppose if there are close friends and people that you actually care about the opinion of at work, you might listen to them.
Oh, I don't. I have never personally, I'm only speaking from my experience,
mm-hmm.
I have never known myself to handle a conversation about my weight any other way other than emotional.
Yeah.
Like, people will say, "You don't you think you are gaining?" And immediately I like, what?
Mm.
You have no business to tell me anything about my right. weight.
That's when it gets crazy in the Molloy household.
Or, you know, even aunts, when they haven't seen you for 6 months and they're like, oh, look at you getting fat again. Like, that's never
received. Is that what they say?
Well, yes.
Look at you getting fat again?
Aunts and older women in the family always think it's their place to comment on your weight.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Always.
Now imagine your boss.
Now imagine your boss or your colleagues.
No, I don't think it'll go well.
No, this is what I'm saying.
Take that entire water cooler and use it to smash you in the head. Yeah, don't say that.
Well, then you'll not only get fat, but you'll also have no job.
So there are ways to promote weight loss in the office, according to Frost. For example,
I ate my brother.
Oh, wow.
I ate my brother.
Well, no wonder you're fat. There are a number of ways employers can promote weight loss in the workplace. How about you start by taking a look at the canteen in the office? You know, a lot of canteens aren't healthy, generally speaking.
Listen, shops aren't healthy.
Shops aren't healthy.
Buy so much shit there. But yeah, you have responsibility. Listen, if the canteen is selling terrible food, bring your own from home.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of people blaming McDonald's for being fat, or they talk about, oh, but the KFC's right there. And you have to at some point take responsibility, right?
Well, you have to decide to, or I mean,
Ben
not.
Is a walking distance from a KFC. You don't see him using it.
No, not today.
Or Frost says you could create an environment that supports activities such as stairs, you know, and walking
yeah,
paths.
Yeah, that's a good idea. How about the stairs?
How about the stairs? How about not the lift, just to go from ground to first?
Right. Use the stairs.
Another suggestion is making wellness coaches available at work. What?
Yeah.
And then create an online community where colleagues can engage with each other to work on their wellness as an easy step to create support within the employee population.
If people start playing those noises behind you as you walk down the passage at work, it's probably
just
too
no,
late.
Yeah, yeah. Thing.
You're in big trouble. Then you're in a lot of trouble. Huh?
Shame.
Or the whale noises. Then you know.
It's probably not the best way to go about telling someone they have a weight problem.
There are probably more sensitive ways to do it. All right, so let's not do it. Let's make that a moratorium. You don't talk about someone's weight, and if you're the boss or the employee, you just don't need to bring it up. Right?
Sure. And this just sounds
hey,
like...
Hey, Agatha, you look great. Meanwhile, Agatha has got a week to live because poor Agatha's heart's so clogged up with cholesterol.
Why must her name be Agatha, though? Like because what? A Tracy could never
Agatha.
Be overweight? It has to be an Agatha or a Murgatroyd.
What's the name that you often think of? Because there are certain fat names. Like if you call your daughter XYZ or you call your son XYZ, you just know they're going to end up fat. Ben, you must know a name or two.
A fat name.
There's a fat name.
Yeah, that's harsh generalizing, I guess. Nah.
Agatha, really? Yeah. Agatha's a fat name.
Agatha's an old name.
What about Brunhilde?
Oh, I can't say that's a name that I've ever thought of before in my life.
Brunhilde. There must be some names that you think of. Maybe they're famous fat people with those names. I don't know.
Jerry.
Jerry, is that a fat name?
Well.
All right. I walked up and down three staircases at least 40 times a day. Often there is someone behind me when I have put on a bit of weight. I don't have... Oh, God, these messages are irritating to read. They're written so strangely on the screen. I don't have any issues with that, says Michelle. Well, brave of you, Michelle. I don't think a lot of people would be able to handle people commenting on your weight. What if your boss is overweight? Can you bring that up too? Good luck with that. I had a hugely overweight boss. I'm not sure I would have said anything. And here's someone saying, morning guys, with all this royal wedding talk, it's enough to get people taking dumps and throwing it around coffee shops. Check out the Scottish Football Rangers fan singing, you can shove your royal wedding up your ass. Cheers, Mark.
Nice.
All right. Well, it's not everybody's thing, huh?
Mm-mm.
And the other thing is that I've found out more about that woman who threw the shit in the coffee shop.
It's the Canadian one.
That's right. She's from Langley in British Columbia. I told you that the reason that she did that and that she had she was ready to go, she had one in the chamber, was because she was desperate to get into the bathroom.
Okay.
And now they're going to be doing an investigation. It's a very serious thing. An investigation. The chain of coffee stores are going to look into this to see, because apparently she was already known to them at the time.
Known for what?
Shitting in coffee shops, of course.
Oh, so that's her thing.
No, I imagine that was a one-off. I don't know what you'd get out of shitting in a coffee shop. Anyway, what else is in the news?
So if you're a person of a certain age, experts like to advise, you know, different brain activities or brain exercises to keep you alert. Uh-huh. Like, you know, playing Sudoku.
Right.
But apparently you can put that away because it's all about, orgasms and sex.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Academics claim that having a healthy sex life past the age of 50 may help you to remember things better than anything else that's been advised before.
Can I taste your juice?
This is all thanks to a new study where thousands of respondents were observed and monitored, and they are believed to be connected to the pleasure hormone oxytocin.
My ass is whoa the fuck out.
Oxytocin is released during lovemaking or a bit of kissing and cuddling. It is important for activating brain cells in the hippocampus, which is the memory center of the brain.
The hippocampus. That's a name for a fat girl, a hippocampus. Hey, hippocampus, why don't you come round this afternoon? I'd like to talk to you about your weight.
A lot of people cringe at the idea of old people going at it, but apparently it's very good for them.
Oh, really? So they should be having sex?
Well, they're encouraging it because of this oxytocin release.
Right.
Sleeping with or cuddling someone you are close to can also reduce stress hormones, mm-hmm. which prevent the creation of brain cells important to the retention of memory.
Hmm. Mm. All right.
Do you think you're going to be having a lot of action in your late years?
I hope not, because it's revolting.
I don't think...
Old people having sex.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
But do you think that your body just suddenly switches off like that? I reckon like people still get...
You probably will, but it's gross.
Yeah, but sex isn't just sex. There's a bit of finesse to sex. There's timing. There's all kinds of other things. When you're old, I don't think you have it. I'll fight this, of course. But you look at old people, and you look at how they battle to cue, or like certain things are a big effort.
They struggle.
Oh, I hate this TV show.
Tired.
I'm not gonna change the channel. It's too much effort.
Yeah.
Or, so, no, I'm not going to go watch a movie. I can't go out in public anymore. You start, like, conceding things.
I don't know. Some old people seem to be good at that stuff. You know, they seem to, like, Donald Trump's an old man, and Jacob Zuma's an old man, and Silvio Berlusconi's an old man, and look at them. They can't wait to get in the sack with just about anybody, right?
And I need you to get my teeth out.
Right, exactly. Right.
How many whippersnappers do you have work for you?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And there are probably a lot of women who are in the same category as Donald Trump and Silvio and Jacob.
There is a very disturbing reality show about elderly women in relationships with very young men.
Barbara Bush.
Yes. Like 50-year age gaps. It's... Huh. it makes the stomach turn, but it's a thing.
Wow. They've
turned
so it's older into, women and younger men.
Yes, they've turned
what
it into a show.
What size do you have?
I can't remember what the name of the show is, but yeah, it's, ooh, yeah, no. Like women in their 70s with 20-year-olds. It's
nice.
Yo.
Good for them.
Yeah.
That's pretty, you wonder about those guys.
Well, it's probably a thing for them in the same way that you have feeders. So right. Men who love to feed women.
Right.
You get those guys who love the idea of a very old woman.
I took out my teeth already.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to Rich Mulholland. See what he's up to this morning. You ready for some reality?
Sure.
It's reality check time. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Good man. How was your weekend?
I was fantastic. Yeah, really good.
What did you do?
I was out at the Franschhoek Literary Festival.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's fun.
Yeah, so it was actually quite nice. It was the one time I've been in front of an audience where my natural hair color was within the audience's majority. It was like a sea of gray. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, yeah, you and the oldest people in South Africa were all at the Franschhoek Literary Festival.
Yeah, and it was unbelievably white.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Sure. But it was also really, really nice. So I didn't know too much about it, but you've got a bunch of authors coming, sitting down, talking about their books. And, of course, their books are often narratives on current affairs. And it's like a very underrated South African event where a lot of, thinkers are sitting together and just commentating on things. And, of course, you have such a range of subjects. It's as close to an actual TED-style thing.
Yep.
Even though the format is different, but in terms of learning that I've actually seen locally.
Well, that sounds really good. Were you there to talk about your book?
Yeah. I had an hour slot on Saturday.
Okay, very good.
And I'm writing another one at the moment, so yeah.
Nice. Okay, what's on the reality check? What do we want to talk about today? What's bothering you or making you happy?
Okay, well, let's see if we get to it. Because first of all, I want to talk about the fat story.
Yes.
I want to talk about the weight loss and as an employer. Well, so here's the thing for me. As I think as employers, we actually do have nobody, health and wellness is the responsibility of an employer. That's part of your job.
Right.
And I think the problem is if one of my staff was ill in any other way, in fact, one of my staff was ill and was coming in, and we actually had to say to him, dude, this is unacceptable. You need to go and take care of yourself. He ended up being put into an induced coma for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was that serious, but he just wasn't looking after himself. And we felt that it was important to sit him down and say, dude, you're not looking after yourself. This is not okay. You need to go and sort this out. Now, what would happen if that was the same with weight? Does that not fall under the same thing? I mean, I don't know if you remember the telecom CEO, Benjamin, Mofatlane, I think it was. Mm-hmm. He was 41 years old. This was a highly overweight man who had a heart attack in the office.
Oh, yeah?
Telecom's share price tanked after that. Now, there's a fiduciary duty to be in good health in a listed company to, there's almost a sense of where in that instance, I think it is important. But I want to make this personal for a second. I had actually put on a lot of weight, and I always struggle. I'm a bit like Oprah. And I've lost now 14-something kilograms, and I'm feeling comfortable again.
It's you and Oprah. When I think of Oprah, I think of you and vice versa.
Listen, I get it all the time. People on the streets, they actually mistake us. It's embarrassing. Every time I put on a bit of weight, they're like, hey, Oprah.
All right. Hey.
And but the thing is, as I started losing weight, everyone was quick to compliment you. Everyone was quick to turn around and say, oh, you've lost so much weight.
Yeah.
And I think, you bastards, why didn't you tell me when I put it on? That's what I needed. I actually loved the people who come up to me and say, hey, Rich, it was Toby Shabshak after the BCX Disrupt Summit, came straight up to me after, said, great speech, God, you've got fat. And I thought, thank you. I actually needed that. That's what I needed.
So in other words, you would prefer honesty.
100%, because it's so difficult, right? It's clearly a struggle. I don't think there are people who are overweight who are completely happy about it. Near the end of last year, I create these videos on YouTube. And near the end of last year, this is the first time I've actually said this out loud.
Yeah.
But near the end of last year, I started filming these videos. And my staff would send them to me. and I'd look at myself in the videos and I'd be so humiliated that I'd find a reason to say that I didn't think the content was right or good, and I'd kill the videos off.
Just because you weren't happy with you in them?
Yes, because I was unhappy with how I looked. And then I have to stand up in front of a stage with a bunch of people, like that BCX Disrupt Summit. There was a thousand people. I was at that Suits and Sneakers, and there was 3,000 people. And I was so embarrassed, and I was so humiliated. I was nearly in tears on the morning of that talk because none of my shirts would fit me. I went to – had a breakfast meeting in Nicolway, and I ended up running in and buying two oversized double XL shirts so that I could stand and feel somewhat comfortable in the day. And then you got to stand up and do your job. And for the most part, this – you know, we can say it's absolutely would it help you? But actually everybody says it's okay. Everyone normalizes being overweight because we've built a culture where we think that fat shaming is bad.
Yeah.
But as, at least in my case – fat shaming is what I needed because it was a choice. Now, I understand there are people with problems and things and to some degree, but the truth of the matter is for 90% of us, when we put on weight, it's a choice. It's a lack of willpower or it's we have made a decision, or at least I had made a decision to eat junk food rather than healthy food. And as soon as I altered that decision in January this year and decided to be conscious and to take control, and only because I'd reached so much humiliation and misery, did I actually go through the process? But sometimes we need to be prodded. What we don't need to be is to be encouraged and told, oh, you look beautiful, because that normalizes the behavior. I wrote a post in a board game forum this week, and I got into so much trouble about it, about the fact that we normalize junk food eating. We sit there and we invite people over to play games, and we put terrible snacks on the table, and we're all sitting down. It's a sedentary hobby. And when I look at, you know, pictures of board game groups from around the world, they're all big, normal, and fat. And I think the fact that something like this has been so normalized is unacceptable. I think we should be trying our best to not, just because something it has a vanity component to it, it doesn't mean it can't be mentioned. It is a health condition. And we would bring up health conditions with other people in any other topic except for weight. But weight is going to kill people more than smoking cigarettes is. Right, weight is going to kill people more than influenza, more than flu, more than HIV, more than anything else. Obesity is a killer. And the idea that because it is somehow intrinsically linked to vanity means we can't address the issue, I think is fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, look, I actually totally agree with you on a logical basis. The problem is that people are very touchy about these things. And when you start talking about people's weight, like Mambali says, they tend to get emotional. Because it feels like it's insulting and it's personal. It's not a healthy thing. Yeah, I could say, for example, oh, you're sick, you better go home. Imagine if I came up to you and said to you, geez, you're fat, I think you should go home.
For sure. But could you turn around and say, hey, guys, we're bringing in to the office just because we know that it's an issue and some of our team have come up and requested it. We're bringing in some nutritionists to the office and we're going to be spending some time with anybody who wants to can sit and actually have some time free with a nutritionist at the office that will help plan things. And then we'll take advice from there and we'll make sure that we plan our kitchen accordingly. I know you guys kind of mentioned
that. No, but you know what's going to happen if you, so you announce this at a staff meeting, for example, right? Because if you announce it, then what's everybody going to do? Look at the fat people straight away.
My case, it's easy because I definitely felt that I could have done that because I was overweight. So I felt guys are really struggling with this thing and coming into work and having chocolate chip cookies and biscuits like this. Now, I don't want to punish all the thin people, but even the thin people in our office would have no problem us being healthy. For me to turn around and say, would you mind if we turn the office into a more healthy environment and try promote healthy eating here? How does that sound?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I take it on myself, and again, that's the job of the boss, right? That is where the boss is bringing up weight issues. If I can stand up there and say, I'm struggling, would you mind? Can we do this thing? If anything, it actually puts me in a better light. And there are other overweight people at the office who we can address this with. Now, again, you know, for us to sit down and I would never bring it up personally. If somebody approached me and asked for help, I certainly would. But I feel that it's a mistake. I think that there should be ways to help.
I don't know what
the answer is.
I don't remember you being fat.
Thanks, dude. And I was just, you know, that's the problem as well. My wife, I would say, oh, I feel so fat. She'd say, no, but you're beautiful to me. I was like, that doesn't help. Just tell me I'm fat. No, tell me you don't want to bag me.
Well, exactly.
That'll get it done.
Right.
Sometimes we need tough love. Anyway, so I think that's good for today.
Right. Well, thanks, man. It's always good to talk to you, Rich. And we will catch up with you next Monday.
Pleasure, team. Catch you.
Rich Mulholland, The Reality Check. A lot of people come in just for that every Monday morning because it's what they need to start their week. If you're feeling that way, then this is just for you. It's also time for the unnews, my buddy. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, let's get into it. Very important stuff. So, first things first, the royal wedding has finally wrapped up after a weekend of festivities. Everything was really respectable until the reception got into the early hours of Sunday morning. The Princess Margaret drinking cup got passed around, and within minutes, Harry was a mess. Meghan got into a fist fight, and that was with Chelsea Davy, and Elton John was dry-humping the waiters. Thankfully, Prince Philip brought things to a close by shouting, "All of you actors and layabouts can all fuck off home now. You've had your moment. Now it's proper folk need to get to bed." And they did. Henry Van Breda's judgment day is today. It's finally here. 3 years on from murdering his family, allegedly. Henry has lived a pretty relaxed existence, making a few appearances in court, otherwise hanging out with his girlfriend. After today, though, there's a good chance he will suddenly become someone else's girlfriend. So we wish him all the best in his final moments of freedom. And finally, Supersport have called Nick Mallett and Nas Buerta in for emergency talks after Ashwin Willemser walked out on them on live TV. They know they can't fire them, but they have to act like they're trying to. Basically, they're going to try to find a scapegoat to throw under the bus, and early rumors suggest the whole incident will be pinned on Darren Scott. More to follow. See you tomorrow. We've got a great interview coming up. You may or may not have heard this one before, but it's worth a replay. That's why we've decided to throw it in today. We've got Mo Flavor, and you remember Mo came in somewhere in 2016 to talk to us about his radio career, to talk about where he was going in the industry, and then shared a couple of interesting stories about something like R500,000 that was stolen from him in his house, which was just lying around, as you do. So listen to that and you can catch up on a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com. Busy day today. Everything you could wish for. And you can always get hold of us by emailing or by WhatsApping or by telegramming us. You know, the WhatsApp number is 0797482090. You can get hold of me, Gareth@CliffCentral.com. Or if you've just got a general thing that you want to tell us about, contact@CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.